Welcome to Fishing Without Bait, a lifetime without definitive expectations, where we help people explode into their lives through full impact mindfulness. The only entrance fee is the honesty, open-mindedness, and willingness to try. So, we're going to continue our conversation with our delightful guest, Tara Vieira.
My thoughts have gotten very sneaky. So, I now have negative thoughts without words. And so, I have to be really diligent about what I'm thinking about myself. So the same thing with judging other people. I don't actively ever think, oh my God, what is she thinking wearing that? Those words would never go through my mind, but I would still have that thought without words. And so I have to pay attention to my emotions. That's the only way that I can manage to make sure my thoughts are in check. And if my emotions are negative, I know that I'm going somewhere negative in my thoughts.
I love the way you're talking. So learning something, we all learn something every day. And there's a cognitive behavioral therapy technique called restating and reframing. Like, although I'm thinking, what is that person? Why is that person wearing that? What I do know is that who am I to judge? I know I'm going to flunk that test tomorrow. However, what I do know is that I've passed every single test this semester. So we always want to restate what the negative thought is in our head, and then we want to frame it into what is the truth. Because our brains lie to us, Tara. They lie to us.
Oh, yes.
So if we're aware of that and understand that emotions are just like puffs of smoke, Tara, they'll blow away in the wind unless we attach our thoughts to them, and they're what I call being stretched out into enduring agony. So what I try to do is help people add immediacy to how they think and feel. Like, I'm angry right now, at present, in this moment. And you can do that with your children. You can do that with coworkers. You can do that with your husband. Oh, I'm so upset right now. Well, right now you are, or in this moment you are. So what we want to do, and when we add immediacy to how we're feeling, it doesn't stretch out into enduring agony, and we have better control over them. And it's about staying in the present. And I love the way you're talking. I feel inadequate compared to the way the recovery works that you do on yourself.
Oh, I'm listening to you. I'm thinking, oh, cognitive reframing. I've heard of that, but I don't do that. I should do that.
Well, I think you're doing just fine. I'm amazed that I'm ashamed of myself for not doing a tenth of the things that you're doing.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I was just listing some of the things that I do, but I didn't always do them. I had surgery last June, and I learned what happens when you don't do them. And it sucked. Ah. It sucked. I was miserable. I was at the point where I didn't, before recovery, when you didn't want to do something and you're like, I can't do it. I don't want to do it. I'm not doing it. I was back at that bratty, like, I don't want to read it. I don't want to do it. I was so mad because I was mad about the surgery. I was mad about the pain. I was mad at God for the slow recovery. I was mad. So you caught me at a time where I was dark for September. Let me just put it this way. By February of this year, we had met, by the end of February, I met my family deductible on our our high deductible PPO. Wow. That's how much shit I've been through just January and February testing. So this was like June all the way through, and I'm still going to see a specialist here in a couple weeks. But it is like I have to learn again and again that not doing all of this is a road to restless, irritable, and discontent. And I forgot how bad restless, irritable, and discontent is, especially when you don't have any escape mechanism. You're just there with you. And it's not like picking up these tools that I listed off is going to flip the switch. I can't just go to a meeting and then everything's going to be fine. I had to keep doing it, even when I didn't want to do it. I had to pick up the book. I had to write in the journal. I had to read the affirmations. And eventually, along came my little Hunger Game drops of joy. Like, oh, a little bit of joy here. And, oh, a feeling of, I had a beautiful feeling this morning of like, oh, it's spring. And I opened all the blinds. And I thought, oh, I haven't felt this way, this weight off my shoulders. Medical shit's hard in recovery. Why don't you talk about that with your recent surgery? It's hard, right?
Well, it's hard. I did have triple bypass surgery. I had a number of things going wrong, which I just consider a culmination of a lifetime of poor choices. I had confidence in myself, and I made a firm commitment that I was going to be grateful for every single person that walked in the room, and I told them that. I never complained about anything. I made a vow that I wasn't going to complain about anything. I was going to treat people with courtesy and respect and be grateful for every single person that came in the room, and I told every single one of them that. And it made the stay much better, and actually, I think I greased the wheels for myself because they treated me quite well also.
I am taking note of that. I'm going to do that. That's where you lose gratitude when you start. I lost gratitude, or that's where I lost it. I lost gratitude for things. And then it snowballs the other way around. And you start saying, why me? Why this? Why this? Why this? Instead of staying in gratitude, which we didn't talk about yet, but that is so important, right? Every day I wake up sober, I should be it is so easy for me to dig down deep and feel like in my heart gratitude for my sobriety. That should be an easy pull on emotions because I'm that grateful at all times for being sober. It's that my life is that different now. So you nailed it on being grateful in the hospital.
Bill Wilson said that gratitude is an action word and it has to go forward. It's impossible, Tara, to have a mind of gratitude and a mind of resentment or anger or self-pity together. It's impossible. They cannot coexist together. So the more that we have this mind of gratitude, the more it changes your brain chemistry over a period of time. Quite often I'll ask people, I'll say, what's good about being you? What are you grateful for? And then we talk about that difference between confidence and arrogance. There's a huge difference there. What does it say in the big book? It says, we are not recovered. What we have is a daily reprieve based on the maintenance of our spiritual condition. And at times, Tara, we need reminded of those things. And normally it's our sponsor or our close friends in the program that point things out to us when we get a little wonky.
Yeah, I love that. You cannot... My sponsor says fear and love. Is it fear and love cannot live in the same house? Fear and faith cannot live in the same house.
It's impossible.
And the same is true for gratitude and resentment.
That's correct.
I love that.
Yeah. So if we try to continually maintain and add, you know, what we talk about in the 12-step world, having an attitude of gratitude. Now, here I am talking about, you know, sitting on top of the like I'm sitting on top of a mountain, giving these all these pronouncements, but I made a conscious effort to be grateful for every single person that came in my room, and I made a conscious effort to use that as an action word and tell them I was grateful for them. You know how nurses get, they do a lot of the nasty work. They work a lot harder than doctors do.
Oh, they have the dirty job for sure.
It was very difficult. I can tell you this. The first time I was in the hospital, I went in for low blood platelets after a normal blood draw, and then the whole thing, you know, it was very slowly and all at once. But I was in with this guy. He was very, very nasty. He just cursed and swore and treated these nurses terribly. And, I never said anything, but one night it was about 3 o'clock in the morning and this younger nurse was in there and he started screaming at her telling her that he hated her and to leave and never come back. So I had to step in there. I said, you know what? You're a bully, a coward. And I used the 12-step word of you're an unlovely creature. And he shut up and they moved me out of that room.
Ugh.
I couldn't stand for him to be rating that young girl like that. That was absolutely unnecessary. Because it says in the 12-step book that we are not doormats. And I wasn't going to allow that young lady to be a doormat.
That was my first thought, was thank goodness you spoke up on her behalf.
Well, sometimes we have to give a voice to the voiceless.
Yeah, I have no problem doing that.
No, I wouldn't think you would, Tara. However, it's just as important that we speak up for ourselves.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I do that. Not as much as I should. I'm probably harder to do for sure.
Well, I'll ask people about the confidence statements. Like, I, Tara, am confident that. If I said that to you, I, Tara, am confident that, what would be the first thing you'd say?
I, Tara, am confident that I am very well organized.
Okay. What else?
I am an active mother and wife.
Ah, okay. Let me ask you this. Are you confident that you can tell the difference between right and wrong?
Oh, yes. I am confident that I can tell the difference between right and wrong. I am confident that I have very strong intuition.
Are you confident that you have a moral compass?
I have a very strong moral compass.
Are you confident that you can be dependable, Tara?
Yes, very dependable.
Are you confident that you have the capability to be honest?
Yes. Oh, I find myself hesitating a little bit on that one. I can't always be honest at work and say what I want to say, but yes.
Okay. Are you confident that you can treat people with courtesy and respect?
Yes.
Are you confident that you love?
Yes.
Are you confident that you are loved?
Yes.
Are you confident that you're important?
Well, these are getting harder to say yes to, but yes.
Okay. So when we have these I am statements, these are self-validating statements. Now, I could sit here and cheerlead you throughout the evening. Your husband could cheerlead you, your kids. But there's nothing like hearing the sound of your own voice, Tara. Quite often what I'll ask people to do is give those I am confident statements and speak them into a voice recorder on their phone and play that back to themselves several times a day. There's nothing like hearing your own voice validating you.
Okay. Do you want to hear something interesting?
Yes.
So probably about maybe 5 days ago, maybe a week, it dawned on me that I don't have enough self-love. And I just had a heart-to-heart with God. And I'm like, I really need to have complete self-love so that I can approach the world without thinking about what does my hair look like? What does my clothes look like? I just want to be me and feel comfortable. I'm part of PTA. Being an active mom includes PTA and other women. And like, I just want to be confident. I'm so proud of myself when I go into the rooms. Why can't I just be confident in all aspects of my life? So I just think it's a little beautiful God moment that you're giving me this tip, and I'm absolutely going to record and do it. You know, I have the recording equipment, so I'm going
to
do it.
Yes, I think you do. So quite often to help young ladies develop self-concept and self-esteem, as everyone knows on this program, young ladies begin to lose their self-concept and self-esteem around the age of 9. So rather than them make a profile about what they have to offer, I have them make a profile on what the requirement it takes to be with them as both a friend and a romantic interest.
Interesting.
I remember I did this a number of years ago with this one young lady, and she wrote 3 pages out. And the first line she wrote on there, that he has to respect his mother. And I actually stood up and I says, now you have my attention.
Why does she have your attention?
Because she said the first thing that a person needed as a requirement to be with her, that they have to respect their mother. which says a whole lot about what they think about somebody's personality and their ethics and their integrity.
Mm.
The requirements that it takes to be with me. And then I ask them, later on I'll say, what do you deserve? What do you feel that you deserve? What do you feel, Tara Vieira? What do you feel that you deserve in this world?
Oh, gosh. I feel like what is our saying in the rooms? I'm overpaid, for sure.
I think you deserve every good thing in this world, Tara.
Hmm.
We have to do the action and effort. The most important words to me, the action and effort. I believe you deserve every good thing in this world. And I'd like you to, at the end of a lead one time, I said, everybody in the room deserves, you have to work for it, but everybody deserves every good thing in this world. And this old woman came up to me and she started yelling at me about blah, 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 blah. I said, why don't you point out to me the person in this room who doesn't deserve recovery and bring them over to me right now. And she gave me a few choice words and that was the end of that conversation. But, you know, Tara, at the end of when I speak at rehabs and at the end, I always have them have this mantra. I have them repeat, I am clean and sober all the time. My thoughts are strong and clear. I am confident in the decisions I make. And I have them say that over and over until they scream it out loud. And then I'll say to them, you get up in the morning and you say that in the mirror, then I dare you tell me what you can't do that day. But it all starts on being clean and sober all the time and having your thoughts being strong and clear and then being confident in the decisions you make. I'd love for you to say that to yourself.
Right this second?
Well, say I'd love you to say it out loud. I'm clean and sober all the time.
I am clean and sober all the time.
My thoughts are strong and clear.
My thoughts are strong and clear.
I am confident in the decisions I make.
I am confident in the decisions I make.
So the next time somebody calls you up and say, hey, Tara, how you doing? I'd love for you to say, here's how I'm doing. I'm clean and sober all the time. My thoughts are strong and clear, and I'm confident in the decisions I make. What do you think they'd say?
I love it.
Yeah. Yes, I did that to my daughter one time. She called me up. She says, Dad, how you doing? And I told her that. And she says, that's all I need to know.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
it's a keeper.
Yeah. Yeah. You're a keeper, buddy. You're a keeper. I think you're doing magnificent. You're doing wonderful work. You're doing God's work. And that's what we're supposed to be doing.
That's the hope.
Well, you're giving out these messages of telling people about their lives, their experience, strength, and hope. And really what it's all about, these leads are all about, is telling how they got here from there.
Yes. Which every story is a miracle.
Absolutely, Tara. And so are you, buddy. So what I'd like to do, I know I sent you a mug the last time, but I have another parting gift for you. So could you give your website again and talk about a little bit about how you do it and what you do?
Okay, sure. So it's keepcomingback.net. That is the website address. You can listen to the stories directly from the website. You can listen on any podcast app, Spotify, Apple. I think Google no longer has a podcast app. You can also download the Keep Coming Back app. There is actually an app called Keep Coming Back, and you can listen directly from the app. Essentially, it's speaker tapes for this generation. So if you've ever been to a speaker meeting, a large one, oftentimes they will be recorded. And it used to be on tapes and then CDs. And so now, instead of listening to a speaker meeting that's been recorded with a large auditorium and all the background noise and the laughing, you can listen to a smooth, clean speaker tape. So each person that comes on shares for about 45 minutes uninterrupted, except for the very first episode. I interrupted her and I learned very quickly to never do that again. So Uninterrupted, episode 207, posts this Thursday. Every Thursday I post a new story, and it is just my service work. So it is not for profit, and it is not for recognition. It is just to keep me sober, help other people.
You're delightful, and I'm hoping that, as the saying is, if the good Lord's willing and the creeks don't rise, we can get together in a year or so. You're delightful. You're a credit to the program, and you're certainly delighted me. You got me on fire tonight, that's for sure. But so at the end of every podcast, Tara, what we like to do is give a free prescription. We give fruits, nuts, and vegetables, ask people to unplug their television and perhaps take up fishing. And for a truly mindful experience, we suggest that they fish without bait. And we ask everyone out there to do a kindness for yourself and do a kindness for another, and to forgive yourself and to forgive another. If we're all not God's children, none of us are. Till all are free, none are free. Namaste, my friends.
Please check out our website at fishingwithoutbait.com, where you can listen to the show, comment on our discussions, and find out where you can subscribe to our podcast. If you're interested in flying the colors of Fishing Without Bait, click the shop icon on our website. We have clothing, mugs, cell phone cases, and so much more. Show the world that you fish without bait. This show is a member of the Sorgatron Media Podcast Network. Find out more at sorgatronmedia.com.